Wayne Simmons moving up to the top line, I imagine we'll see kind of like what we saw last year when we saw Joe Thornton up on the top line to begin the season. He'll get shifts, but then every third shift or so, they'll throw a little bit of a wrench into things. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw William Nylander get some time playing up on that up on the top line. He can maybe get double shifted, bump his ice time up. Maybe Kasha's a guy who gets some extra ice time by taking a shift or three with that top line throughout the game. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does maneuver things with all of these injuries starting to pile up. Like, that's two guys who are out, right? You've got Marner, who's down with an injury, and then I'm assuming Spezza's suspension is supposed to come down later today, so he's not going to play either. So it's going to be interesting to see how Sheldon Keefe kind of goes through the matchup tonight against Columbus.
Yeah, PP2 specifically, right? Because Spezza is such a really big part of PP2. And
Sandin, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So it should be interesting. Let's bring in Aaron Portsline. He is the Blue Jackets writer for The Athletic. Aaron, did you get into Toronto okay?
You know what? I did not, I'm ashamed to say. The trip did not happen. I'm saving up. I'm, to be honest with you, I'm even having second thoughts about swinging out into the Wild West of Canada next week. But I'm not on the trip. I'm trying to stay as close and as plugged in as possible from home.
It's snowing here right now, so I don't blame you for remaining in Columbus.
You know what? It's 23 degrees here. It wasn't a weather choice, believe me.
Aaron, Columbus currently above 500, 13-10 on the year, still in the playoff hunt in a year where there was expectations that, you know, maybe they'll take a bit of a step back. What do you make of their season so far?
Well, it's been kind of a mixed bag. I think they certainly played better the first 15, 20 games than people anticipated. I think when you came into the season, I think, frankly, some of the thoughts that they were among the worst or two or three worst teams in the league, I thought that was a little overblown. It's fair to say there were some serious question marks. So down the middle, what's going to happen down the middle? There's a real vacuum there. Cole Sillinger, the youngest player in the NHL, 18 years old, steps in and has been what you would expect for a really high-end player like this. Been really good some nights. He struggled some nights. But he's helped sort of patch that a little bit. The right side of the defense, any team that loses David Savard and Seth Jones in a calendar year, you're going to have some reverberations from that. How do you get over that? Well, Jake Bean comes in from Carolina, has never played on the top pair before. So that's a huge question mark. Adam Boqvist is 21 years old. Can he play in the top four? Both of those guys have been pretty darn good. Boqvist has 6 goals in the early going. Bean has been a better two-way player than I think they anticipated. So those guys have sort of helped patch what were the major concerns, but this is a wildly inconsistent team. We've sort of learned here in recent weeks, you can forecheck them. If you're a big team that takes the body and plays heavy, they can struggle with that because they're pretty light on defense. But this is a team that can skate with other teams too. And this is a team that takes more offensive risk than they did under John Tortorella, and they can score goals, as San Jose saw the other night. Other teams have learned as well. Very, very young team, learning their way in the NHL, and it's been optimistic for many people, and see if they can keep it going.
Yeah, you talk about the young team and getting that surge from those young guys. And you mentioned Cole Sillinger, their first-round pick from this season, 18 years old. Wasn't expected to make the team, but did make the team out of camp. Past the 9 games, now he's with the club for the long haul. He's got 10 points so far through the first 23 games this season. How has he been succeeding? What's kind of been the recipe for success for young Cole Sillinger?
Well, the brilliant part about this young player, the reason he is able to stick, and I frankly have not seen this from an 18-year-old, but Columbus has had plenty of 18-year-olds in the lineup. Nash, Filatov, you can go back through the years. Most of these players are at that level, at that age, one-dimensional. They're offensive superstars, yada, yada. Cole Sillinger plays a 200-foot game that, from the first day of training camp, has really impressed the coaches. So even if he's not a dynamic offensive player some nights, he's still aiding the cause. He's still helping the team. He doesn't have just one element that needs to be there for him to be a difference maker. He can change games in a lot of different ways. There have been times lately, especially last couple of weeks, where you start to wonder if fatigue is setting in. So a whole different schedule, basically playing NHL games every other day. That takes some getting used to for an 18-year-old. He's admitted as such. But I keep going back to this. The day he was drafted, John Buccigross, ESPN, made the comment, it's like he was born to do it. His father, of course, Mike Sillinger, mm-hmm. former Blue Jacket, former many teams. We could go on there. This kid is a professional at the age of 18 years old. It's like this is his birthright. And he is a grounded, honest, hardworking kid. The veterans love this kid. And I think the Blue Jackets, even now, more than on draft day, are convinced he's going to have a very bright future in this league.
With Aaron Portsline, athletic writer for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm having a hard time today, Aaron. I just getting off a cold, and I'm like, the English speaking thing is not coming well to me right now.
I feel you.
Columbus on a 4-game road slide right now. Bounce back at home, obviously, against the Sharks. Really good game there, but they're having a hard time getting scoring on the road. What's going to be the game plan tonight coming into Toronto?
Well, I think Toronto's a team that they feel like they can play with. Not a team, again, that is going to punish them, that's going to be heavy. Nashville really overwhelmed them. Dallas was heavy against them. You know, these are the teams, if you can pound their defense, you can make some hay with these guys. I don't know that you anticipate that kind of game with Toronto. I don't think Columbus wants a track meet necessarily, but I think they feel like they can get out and they could play. The big issue for Columbus against those big heavy teams is just getting out of their zone. And you can tell they start to doubt themselves, and you watch from above, it takes one-tenth of a second of doubt, and the whole picture changes, where the puck can go, where it needs to go. And just that little hesitation has hurt them. They seem to have recaptured it against San Jose. They looked better on the road in Washington at times, a game they easily could have won. I think Toronto's a game, a team that they can skate with. They certainly can't match them skill-wise, but I think the similarity of style and play, I think, should suit them pretty well.
There's been a lot of turnover and lots of change since the last time these two teams played back in the bubble.
A different world.
A different life. But a couple of key pieces from that bubble performance by the Blue Jackets when they beat the Leafs was Pierre-Luc Dubois, who was fantastic, and also Seth Jones. And, you know, the Jackets trade away Seth Jones this offseason, and I'm curious if anyone's been able to somewhat replace what he brought to the table for you guys.
You know, so far, the book in Columbus is that trade has been one of the better trades the Blue Jackets have made, and I don't say that to disparage Seth Jones in any way. Seth Jones is a hell of a hockey player, a 200-foot physical big guy. They're different now without him here. They are different. There's no question. But to get a 21-year-old Boqvist to move up in the draft and get Sillinger, to have Chicago's first-round pick next year, next coming draft, I think most Blue Jackets would do that. Again, they also got a second-round draft pick that they traded for Bean for Carolina.
Right.
So you look at the immediate roster and you go Bean, Boqvist, Sillinger for Jones, and you still have a first-round pick coming next year. This team, this franchise is in a rebuild or a restart or whatever you want to call it. They know they're taking a step back. I don't think the goal this year is to take a run in the playoffs. Of course, the players and the coaches want to see how far they can go with this. This is really a long-term plan. There are going to be some trades at the trade deadline that may surprise some people. I don't think Max Domi is back. What do they do with Gus Nyquist? What becomes of Jack Roslovic, who came home to Columbus and really has not gone well for him? They're still going to cash out some chips because they've got a lot of young prospects still coming. Voronkov from Russia, Marchenko from Russia. Kent Johnson is a stud at Michigan right now. We'll be with them probably later this year. This team is the youngest team in the league. It's going to get younger, and the process has just begun. But I think when they look back on that Jones trade, again, nothing against Seth Jones. He's served the organization very well, has a lot of good years ahead of him. I think the Blue Jackets would do that trade again in a heartbeat.
Do you recall, I can't recall right now, is that protected, top 10 protected by any chance, that pick this year, or is that?
It is not top 10 protected. It is protected if coming out of the lottery, the Blackhawks have the first or second overall pick. Then it pushes to the next year. Columbus gets it no matter where it is.
Now, regardless, should be a decent little pick. They're not doing too well in Chicago right now.
One of those young guys you were talking about, Adam Boqvist, is a player I used to really like to watch in London, and he's heating up right now. Yeah. 2 goals in that game versus San Jose. He got the first star. It's awesome. He's got 6 on the year. Is he starting to hit his stride right now with Columbus?
You know, he is, and I think he's in a system that really, really works for him. Chicago would have been fine as well, but he's getting playing time here that I'm sure he wouldn't have gotten in Chicago had he stayed there. They're really letting him go, and he's rewarding them. You would expect Zach Werenski to be the highest scoring defenseman on this team. He is not, as Adam Boqvist. You would expect Cale Makar, Aaron Ekblad, and Roman Josi to lead the league in goals by defensemen, and they do. I don't think you'd expect Boqvist's name to be right there underneath them with Carlson and Hamilton, Shattenkirk, these guys. 21 years old. He's -2, so the two-way play has been there as well. And we're looking at 6 goals for Boqvist. He missed, I think, 8 games with an injury, so he's played only 16 games. He's got 6 goals. The kid can shoot. I think he's being challenged to play defensively. That's the part of his game that needs to round out. They're delighted with him. Right now he's playing on a second pair with Vladislav Gavrikov, who's a really protecting type defenseman for a young defenseman like him. So see where it goes. But at 21, they're getting pretty good production out of Adam Boqvist.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They're getting great production out of that trade early on. Like you said, it's looking really, really good for Columbus. Tonight should be a fun one. Appreciate you joining us and taking the time today.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. Hope to see you in person sometime soon.
I'm hoping so. Hopefully we can all kind of get through the pandemic onto the other side. Nice, safe, and sound. And we can all start traveling again. Really appreciate the time, Aaron.